Welcome to Living as a Jew, a daily lesson in the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch, a project of the Chabad of Kerry Jewish Center. Chapter 118 of the Laws of the Items of the Seder Plate. The Shulchan Aruch begins by saying we should do our best before Pesach begins to obtain good quality wine for the mitzvah, the rabbinic mitzvah of the four cups at the Seder. Now, if all things are equal, red wine is better than white wine. There are verses that support this idea. The red wine also reminds us of the blood, and therefore, as long as the quality and the kashrus is at least the same, we go with red. The Shulchan Aruch notes, if God forbid there are libels that are possible in your town, remember Pesach throughout history was a time where Jews unfortunately had to face blood libels and accusations from other faiths, in those situations white wine would be okay, but typically speaking we go with red for the Seder. The wine cups should be whole, they shouldn't have any defects inside of them, and it is preferable to drink the entire cup every single time. If one is unable to, they can drink what is called Ravkais, which is the majority of the cup. But as a result of that, being that you're going to be drinking all or the majority of the cups, best not to get huge goblets or else you'll be drinking a very large amount of wine. Many people do not know this, but you can use smallish cups as long as it has a reviz, about 3.5 fluid ounces. That is okay for the mitzvah of the four cups of wine. When it comes to the karpas, the vegetable that is dipped in salt water towards the beginning of the Seder, the Kitzer mentions the custom of either using parsley, some use celery, and some uses radishes. In Chabad, it is typically either boiled potatoes or raw onions that is used. For mar, there are a number of vegetables that the Talmud identifies as mar. Of course, most famous is horseradish. The Shulchan Aruch says it is allowed to be grated, but one needs to be careful that when you do grate it, you do it right before the Seder. It's sealed properly in so that it is still bitter and doesn't lose its strength completely. If it is a Friday night Seder like this year, we must be careful that it is ground up before the onset of Shabbos, but of course sealed properly so it remains strong. Many in Chabad have the custom of leaving some of the chips of the horseradish of larger sizes to have more of that bitter taste. Romaine lettuce is also a form of mar. Our sages teach us that it starts off as something sweet, but if left in the ground, it becomes very bitter, similar to the way the slavery began, where Pharaoh tricked the Jewish people into being slaves. At the beginning, they had payment and good working conditions, and over time, the situation deteriorated and got worse and worse. Romaine lettuce is the other vegetable that can be used. In Chabad, both are used, and on the Seder plate for both the section of mar and chazeres, there is pieces of both the horseradish and the romaine lettuce. And when we will say that one has to eat a kazayis, the size of an olive, of mar can be a combination of both of these ingredients. Everyone's favorite, the chareises, the Shulchan Aruch writes, should have a thick consistency to remind us of the bricks. Now it is made more dry, and just before we dip the maror into it, at that point we add a little bit more wine to it before we dip the maror inside of it. Now of course one of the main ingredients is apples, and elaborating on a verse in the Song of Songs, it says, under the apple tree I aroused you, there was your mother together with you in your distress. And the Gemara says that during the time of the Jewish people's slavery, the Jewish women would give birth under the apple trees, and there was a number of miracles associated with it, and so the chareises also has that symbolism inside of it as well, which would explain why something sweet is actually being used to symbolize the bricks that were made. In Chabad, one does not mix cinnamon or ginger into the chareises, though of course many do have the custom of doing so. After the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, it was at that time that the sages ordained that we are to have two cooked foods on the table during the reading of the Haggadah to recall the two offerings that were brought, the regular holiday offering, the Chagiga, as well as the special Paschal offering, the Karban Pesach. Hence, that is the reason for both the Be'a, the egg, and the Zroa, the Shenkbon. It is called Zroa, which means an outstretched arm. It should be roasted on the fire to remind us of the Paschal offering, which of course was roasted. Some have the tradition of using a shank of a lamb, some some chicken thigh, chicken neck. The Chabad custom is actually to use the roasted chicken neck, but most of the meat is peeled off. And the reason why many people pull off the meat, while still leaving a little bit, is to make clear this is only symbolizing the Paschal offering. We don't have a Karban Pesach. We do not eat that today. Now, interesting, on Shabbos, we do not cook at all. On a holiday, one can cook. And therefore, if the holiday began and you did not yet roast the Zroah, ideally it should be roasted beforehand, you run into a problem because you can only cook those items that you are to eat. You're not supposed to eat the Zroah the night of the Seder. So what should be done is, if you have to cook it on Yontif, you should eat it as a day meal the next day. That way it is being eaten, but not during the Seder itself. The second cooked item, of course, is the egg. In Hebrew, that word beitza or beya also means desire, symbolizing the fact that Hashem had this desire to redeem us from Egypt with the outstretched arm. A concluding thought. It is interesting that unlike pretty much every other item where there is a specific amount one must consume, whether it is the wine or the matzah or the mar or the afikomen, when it comes to the charoset, there is no set amount one needs to eat. All that we are told is that the mar is dipped inside of the charoset. No amount is mentioned. In fact, the Chabad tradition is to actually shake off the charoset from the mar after we dip inside. And certainly, according to that tradition, it begs the question, what is the true reason for the charoset, especially if we are not eating it at the Seder? Or for others, doesn't have a minimum requirement. And the Rebbe explains this is because the charoset has these contradictory ideas. On one hand, it does correspond to the miserable clay of servitude. Yet on the other hand, it evokes the image of the apple trees, where the miracles of birth and the way Hashem was with us even during the harshest of times is remembered. And this is one reason why there isn't a specific amount or quota of charoset that we have to eat, because it does correspond to the sweetness, the freedom that is within the challenges itself. As the Maharal of Prague taught, that the freedom that Hashem gave us at Pesach is eternal. That even if later in history other nations attempted to enslave us, to persecute us, and externally it seems like they did, from the moment Pesach happened, a Jew is inherently free. No one has control over our souls. We have the ability that's simultaneous to the clay-like servitude of the charoset is also the sweetness of the essential freedom, and that comes from such a deep place. It's infinite, it's immeasurable. It has kept us strong and free throughout this long and bitter exile, and please God, will soon burst forth into a open way.